time is now 6:09 in the PM. You are still listening to KOOP Hornsby Austin, 91.7 on your FM dial or online worldwide at KOOP.org. This is the Mascot Wedding Show 2010 edition, Radio's Hour of Unspeakable Power. My name is David Hotta.
And my name is Mac Blake. This is the show where we open the phone lines to the community. Anytime today you want to join in today's conversation, the phone number is 472-5667. Toll free 1-888-917-5667. The things said on this show are just the opinions of the person that said it, no one else. Welcome to Volume 4?
I think so,
yeah. 2007 is when we've started.
Yeah.
2K10 Mascot Wedding Show. David, how are you doing?
I am awesome. I am enjoying the new year so far. How are you, Mac?
I'm also doing good. We just heard Fountains of Wayne with Radiation Vibe off of their self-titled album, which came out a full 7 years before that Stacey's Mom song turned them into a joke band. Instead of just a nice little pop duo, which is what they used to be.
Well, did Stacey's Mom come out before or after their Texas Lottery theme?
It came out before, but he was doing commercial work.
Okay.
Chris what's his name? I got it right here.
Clontarse.
Chris Collingwood does a lot of commercial stuff.
Yeah.
He, of course, they also wrote the Thing You Do for
That's
the
right.
movie.
Yeah.
They also did the theme to Crank Yankers. And the Texas Lottery song, like, scratch off, wanna play it, or whatever.
You did that so well. I thought he was in the room. What do you think of this bed music? Is it too busy?
I don't know. I'll let you know later.
Okay.
What do we hear with the start the show?
Starting off the show, we heard Poser Psychotic from the Ponies from their Turn the Lights Out album 2007. That seems like it was a decade ago.
So we got a lot to cover in today's show. And by a lot to cover, we mean very little to cover. We're going to get right into it because David, last week in the show, wanted to back in last year.
Ow. It popped in my ear.
Day after Christmas show.
Yeah.
He wanted to talk about Avatar, which he saw, that movie Avatar.
Uh-huh.
But I hadn't seen it yet, so I asked him to delay it a week. And now I have seen it, and now we can talk about it.
Yes.
And I'll have to say, at least in my discussion, do you anticipate any spoilers?
No, but we will give a quick disclaimer for anyone who has never seen a movie about a white man and a tribe. There might be some spoilers for you. If you have seen a movie ever involving a white man and a tribe, then this will be old hat for you.
Yeah, it's not like there's a lot of story in Avatar.
No, it's really not.
It's pretty thin.
Yeah.
But slight spoilers if you don't want to know something. I don't know. Turn it off or whatever.
Yeah, in case you haven't been one of the millions and millions of people who have already seen it.
Although I'm sure two jerks talking about the radio isn't going to ruin anything. Because I'll say, David.
Yeah.
For most of the movie Avatar,
uh-huh.
I was dazzled.
Yeah.
I was sitting there with my 3D. Did you see it in 3D?
I did, yes.
I did not see it in IMAX, though.
No, God, no.
Tickets for that have been like always sold out like days ahead of time. I was dazzled. Like, I had my 3D glasses on and like looking at everything come out of me, and the movie was so lush, and I have to say the animation was really awesome.
Yeah.
Like, you know, large chunks of that movie were just a cartoon.
Yeah.
Pretty much like 90% of it was a cartoon. But, I mean, it's one of those things where I was excited to, every frame that went by, I was like, I couldn't wait to see what would be next.
Mm-hmm.
I really enjoyed it. Visually, I thought it was a lot of fun. I was amazed.
Here's where I think I messed up, because I was the same way. I told my friends my initial reaction was that I had to sit with the movie for a while because I didn't know how I felt about it. Alternately, it was kind of the best and worst movie of the year for reasons we will probably get into in a little bit.
Well, why was it the best movie of the year?
Because my one word review of it, just my initial gut reaction, I was impressed. I was very impressed because that movie cost like $8 jillion or something. It was like Yemen's gross national product. But every dollar was on the screen.
Yeah, no, exactly. It's like, this took 2 years to make. I'm surprised it didn't take 10.
Yeah.
And people are like, oh, man, this is going to change how movies are made. It's like, well, I made them much longer to make.
Yeah, exactly. I forget my point already.
But you said your one-word review because it was the good and best movie. Or, sorry, not the good and best. Best and worst movie.
Yeah, but back before that, I was going to say something before.
Oh, sorry.
I got sidetracked. No worries. Yeah, it was one of those movies where, like, I was in that universe. Here's where I messed up.
Yeah.
This is the first 3D movie I'd ever seen. So I have no point of reference. Like, I never went and saw like The Final Destination. So I don't know what like low rent, half-assed 3D looks like, where it's just like popcorn coming at you.
Yeah.
My only point of reference to 3D is this gigantic, expansive world of wonder.
Well, then that had to make it more impressive for you.
Yes and no, because I would rather have another point of reference first.
I saw Captain EO in 3D when I was a kid, that Michael Jackson movie, and I had to take off my glasses because like planets were coming at me.
Uh-huh.
And I saw another 3D movie years later at the Draft House, and it was an older one, and the 3D glasses like hurt my eyes, mm-hmm. like to look at them. Flash forward, I saw Up this past summer, and I was kind of like, oh man, Up in 3D, are they going to do a lot of that, like, you know, oh, hey, I'm eating some popcorn. Oh, now it's coming at you, yeah. like you were just describing. But they didn't. There was none of that cheese. It basically looked like there was little toys that you could touch, mm-hmm. like in front of you.
Oh, that sounds like fun. I wish I'd seen it in 3D.
But Avatar, like the opening scene where you see Sam Worthington's character
mm-hmm.
Coming out of cryogenic slumber because mm-hmm. he was on a like 6-year space mission. So they froze him or whatever. And, you know, the depth of frame and all the 3D stuff, I was like, oh, I can't handle this. This is too amazing.
Yeah. Well, that's sort of, it was awesome, but very, very frustrating because it took me about a half hour for my eyes to adjust to this movie. This was like the second movie I had ever seen that made me, that like physically hurt me, but I still enjoyed it.
Uh-huh. What was the other one?
Blair Witch.
Okay.
Because I got sick watching Blair Witch. It took me like a half hour for my eyes to adjust because one of the things I was very impressed by the movie, but I was also very annoyed by the movie, is that when I go see a movie, I want the opportunity to see everything on the screen. Like, I'm going to throw a word at you that I learned in film school, Mac, the mise-en-scene. Like, everything that makes up the scene. But Avatar sort of forces you to look at whatever they want you to look at. So, like, when Sam Worthington's coming out of the cryogenic chamber or whatever, and he's in the foreground, that's what all the 3D focus is on, and everything else in the background is blurry. But I want to see what's in the background, so it hurts my eyes to see something that's forcibly blurry.
Well, but that's sort of, it's a different way to look at a movie.
I understand that. But I
you didn't like it, though, is what you're saying.
It took me some getting used to. It took me a lot of getting used to. And if I had my, I would, here's where Avatar comes out, brilliant on their part. It made me kind of want to see the movie in 2D, just to see what the whole thing looks like. Because they did spend all his money on making it look lush and lavish. I would like the opportunity to see how lush and lavish it looks.
Well, I was dazzled, I have to say. And but there were times when I kept taking off my glasses just to see how it was looking. Uh-huh. And, you know, but stuff in the background, it wasn't that it was blurry, is that it wasn't not blurry, if that makes sense.
Because
the blurry stuff, when you take off your glasses, that is the 3D stuff. That's the stuff that's, like, coming at you.
Uh-huh.
When you take off your glasses and you see something that's, like, flat, that's the background thing, which the end result does not look like it's coming at you.
Yeah, gotcha.
So I think it was fine.
Okay.
Because the new 3D glasses, they're not like one's blue, one's red, yeah. like you're a villain in Back to the Future. They're clear.
Yes.
Yeah.
And they're quite stylish. Yes. I felt like Jose Feliciano the entire time.
The only bad thing, though, is if you wear them out of the theater, everything else turns into 4D. Yeah, and you could see where people are in time as well.
I don't think we're ready for that.
I didn't like it at all. I could not stop vomiting.
Yeah, I tried driving with it, and the only thing I did was drive all the way back to 1998.
Oh, my God, that's horrifying.
Was it?
Yes.
It was, because I was in high school. I don't want this to sound like an infomercial for Avatar, because there was a lot of things about it that just stunk.
Like what?
The story.
The story was pretty thin.
And by extension, the characters and the action and the thing that made it go.
Well, you got about like 40 minutes into it, or maybe like an hour into it. And I was sitting there thinking, like, this story is pretty thin because he's just been training.
Uh-huh.
Because what happens is you get this guy, and they're like, oh, hey, so we're on this new planet called Pandora. Wink. And we're trying to mine for this metal called unobtainium. Wink.
Mm-hmm.
And the locals here are these monsters. And we've grown you monster bodies, and we're going to put your brain into them.
Yeah.
What I didn't understand from the trailer is these monsters are huge.
Yeah.
They're 10 feet tall.
Yes, they are.
And so there's a scene when they beam these, and anyone familiar with the internet, you know, the avatar is like a sort of like a real representation of yourself.
Yeah.
Hence the name of the movie. And so they put him in this thing, and they beam his brain into the monster body that they grew. And the doctors are like standing around these monsters. And you're like, oh my God, these blue guys, these giant Smurf creatures, mm-hmm. Dances with Smurfs or whatever. Yeah. They're giant monsters.
And yeah,
I was suddenly very afraid.
Yeah.
Like I was like, oh my God, I don't want them to kill any humans.
Yeah. Yeah. Cause like the buildup of this movie is like, you see the previews and you're like, I'm not going to watch a movie with a bunch of cat monkeys or whatever. But then like you watch the movie and you watch the humans in comparison. And you're like, I want to know what these menacing cat monkeys are going to do to us. Are they going to enslave us?
And then, but yeah. And so he gets in the monster body, the avatar body. Mm-hmm. And he goes to around this planet and he meets some natives and they adopt him and he becomes one of them for the next hour and a half.
Yeah, exactly.
Yes.
Yeah, so it's an hour and a half just running around. And to Avatar's credit, by this point you're completely in the world. Like there is almost nothing on that screen that is real. It's all artifice.
Yeah, like I said, it took me an hour and a half to be like, there's no story here.
Uh-huh.
Because I'm just dazzled the entire time. I'm sitting there like, I really am just like, wow. It's great. It's worth it as an experience go see it.
It was so good at what it did that in this world of giant cat monkeys, I was able to pick out which one was the most attractive cat monkey.
Wait, was it not the main character?
No, it was the main character.
Oh, okay. Which, by the way...
And I had no problem just watching her dance on screen.
Two things about the cat monkeys. Number one, when we first meet the love interest for our hero, she's wearing like pretty much like a thong... and beads on top.
Yeah, exactly.
And my first thought when I saw her was like, and this is just sort of a sad telltale of the times we live in, but I saw it and I was like, man, I bet someone's writing some erotic slash fiction right now about, or not slash, I think that means gay, some erotic fiction about, fan fiction about Avatar right now.
Yeah, exactly.
Like someone's writing it like as they, in their mind, like while watching it, not me,
uh-huh.
or somebody else was. They're like, somebody's making a GIF right now and it's really dirty. The other thing though is, in case like David's point earlier that this movie was, you know, like basically like Dances with Wolves all over again, mm-hmm. or cause the movie is nothing, but it's just that same European colonization parable of like, oh, here are the natives who are very spiritual and in love with the earth. Yeah. And and then the big bad Europeans come and murder them all. Earthicans or whatever. Americans. And but in case you didn't get that, all of the voice acting for the Na'vi, which
that's,
I believe the name is.
That's right, yeah.
They were all either African-American actors or Wes Studi.
Yeah.
America's favorite generic token Native American actor, who, by the way, he's an awesome actor.
He's an awesome actor. And here's what I think Avatar did wrong. I didn't realize he was he represented, you know, the leader or whatever till the end of the movie. I wish it had just been Wes Studi. I wish it had been all these avatars or, you know, the cat monkeys and Wes Studi.
Well, I recognize his voice instantly because I'm, of course, a big Wes Studi fan.
I know.
As I'm a fan of anyone in the movie Heat.
Yes, that's true. One
of my favorite movies ever. But yeah. And it's like, okay, we get it. But that didn't stop the movie from going on.
Yeah. It was the kind of movie, here's what I'll say. Your feelings of Titanic or about Titanic are going to mirror your feelings about Avatar, I think. Because like to me, Titanic was the exact same structure wise. It was like the first hour and a half were horrendous. And then the last hour, I was dazzled, as you said.
Really?
Yeah.
I never saw Titanic when it came out. I had zero interest.
Really?
In it.
Really? Yeah.
And you know why? For the same reason I could see someone not wanting to go see Avatar.
Of course.
Because Titanic is... one of the appeals of Titanic is like, oh, the visual effects were awesome, is what people kept telling me. But what are they awesome? Like, what are the visual effects wrapped around? They're wrapped around this, like, stupid love story
mm-hmm.
with, like, really no twists.
Yeah.
There's not a lot of plot to this love story.
Yeah.
Like, oh, they meet. They like him. She's already married. She likes him back. Like, who cares? And so they're like, all right, well, yeah, sure, it's got a lot of special, you know, effects, and I'm sure they're dazzling, but I don't care about this love story.
Mm-hmm.
So for someone to see Avatar and tell right away, like, okay, this is like your classic, white man's burden.
Right, everything.
Sort of thing or whatever, like you were saying earlier. But there's special effects wrapped around it. You don't want to have to sit through this really obvious movie.
Yes.
Then I can understand that.
Yeah, because here's the last act, really, of Avatar. The battle sequence. I was in it. I was really into it. And I couldn't have cared less about any single one of those characters, whether or not they lived or died.
Yeah, in fact, I was hoping more of them would die.
Yeah.
No, I I love that movie despite the story.
Yeah, it was sort of what everything Transformers was not. Like, because Transformers was just all, like, thin characters, if any at all, and robots. And Transformers just didn't do it. Avatar seemed to have done it for me.
Avatar, in terms of being a cheap thrill, did not make the mistakes Transformers did, which was Transformers, it's a movie about giant robots.
Yeah.
Fighting, right?
Yes.
Yeah, that's what you should show on screen.
Yes.
I don't care about these other characters. I don't want, like, stupid jokes. Mm-hmm. And that's all Transformers was.
That's true. Good to know.
And then, like, you know, I think the giant robots fought with giant guns but didn't murder anyone.
Yeah.
Which is like, how are you doing that? It was basically like an old 80s cartoon where you're shooting those pew-pew lasers at
them. Yeah, or like the G.I. Joe cartoons where, like, they get out of the plane just in time for it to explode.
Yeah, chee-choo-choo-chock. what else do you have to say about Avatar?
One thing that got me about Avatar is we have talked about this before. We are pretty much in the middle about a lot of, like, issues and opinions and stuff like that. So
I can see both sides.
Yeah, exactly. Saying that going in, I am not...
Even-handed, I like to say.
I am not... really pro, like, staunchly pro-environmentalist or whatever, and I'm also not staunchly pro-progress. You know, so I'm not the, like, you know, this big industrial kind of guy.
Yeah.
Watching that movie about halfway through, I'm like, I wonder if some people are going to get really annoyed by this story, because it was very, like, you know, war is bad, you know, and save, you know, protect the Mother Earth because it is all we have, that sort of thing.
Yeah.
And I felt hit over the head by it, and I have a very soft head. So I just wondered if, like, people, like, who are more opinionated about that sort of thing are really going to get angry about it.
If you look at the parallels the movie is drawing, it's oversimplifying and romantically looking at a lot of parts of the history of this continent.
That's true.
It's not like the Native Americans. I'm not saying that they deserve to, by any stretch, I'm not saying that.
No, of course not.
Kicked off their home, given smallpox blankets, and their food supply slaughtered.
Open casinos.
But it's not like all they were doing was sitting around hugging
each
other. They're still killing each other.
Can you say that?
You know, it's, I don't know, they, like, these avatars, like, the ultimate, like, you know, oh, they fight and they kill, you know, animals. But when they do, they almost, like, make out with it. They love it so much.
Which was gross.
What do you mean?
That whole.
Oh, when they kissed in the movie, I was grossed out.
No, but, like, when they, like, form the bond with the animals that they keep forever, which, like.
Oh, yeah, that was.
Yeah,
gross.
This is your animal you keep forever.
So, basically, the entire Avatar world or Pandora is like plug and play.
Yeah.
It's like basically one giant, everything in that world has a USB connector. And you as a avatar, you're at the end of your hair. It's like this ponytail, but it's like wrapped around this like gross.
It's like cilia.
This
like,
really gross, like the USB male part. Ugh. And you basically stick it in anything in the planet.
I was really sickened by it. Like I just, I kind of closed my eyes half the time.
That was gross. But the animation acting was really good. But when they kissed, I was bothered by that. I was like, ew, not good.
I don't want to be here.
So eventually after, in case you didn't see this coming, so Sam Worthington's character, he is training with the Navi? The Smurfs. He's training with the Smurf, what'd you call them? Cat monkeys?
Cat monkeys.
He's training with the blue cat monkeys, and he falls in love, and he wants to be one of them. And then here comes the corporation, and they're going to mine the place and blow it all up. And so he's like, no, I want to stay here, and I want to be an avatar forever.
Yeah.
Like, really? Are you that bored? do you hate TV that much? Like, he's like, yeah, I'm going to stay on this planet forever. I don't care ever about being human again.
Yeah. I want to go to that tree of life and learn all about the history of a race I have no connection with whatsoever.
Nothing's going on in your life?
No, nothing. Well, I mean, nothing.
Just running around, you're never going to get bored of that? Because that's it forever.
Yeah.
These people have no, you know, no recorded music.
Yeah, and just, oh, all the lush fruits and stuff that he could eat there.
Yeah.
And all the animals that he could get scared of.
They don't have any, you're not going to miss riding a bike,
it's
guy?
Like four things. There's like four things to do on that planet.
Yeah.
And two of them are gross.
You don't like sleeping indoors? That's gone away. It's gone away, buddy. That must be not a lot going on board.
Oh, Avatar.
Sam Worthington.
So infuriating. But, oh,
what else were you going to say about it?
Well, no, because he couldn't do most of that because he was no use of his legs, so he couldn't ride a bike.
That's true, but he was going to get his legs back.
He was going to get his legs.
That's what that Arlie Emery, the new generation, was promising him.
Which, he was just so leathery. It was very off-putting to watch him.
the evil army, the nemesis in the movie.
Yeah, exactly. The Tommy Lee Jones of small soldiers, if you will. What else was I going to say about that movie? I don't know. It was, you know, I had fun. I had a lot of fun. I kind of want to go with somebody who was like pro-industrialist to be like, I don't see what the problem is. They just want to get this. They want to get a lot of money. They can. Like, I want to go with somebody who will miss the point of this movie.
Yeah, everybody was a pretty weak character.
Mm-hmm.
Here is the main problem with the movie.
Okay.
This is my main problem.
Here we go.
So, the humans in this movie, for the most part, are cruel and not caring.
True.
All they want is this mineral. They do not care if they murder the blue cat monkeys. They don't care if they just destroy their entire planet. They just want to get this mineral out of it.
Mm-hmm.
And so our hero, Sam Worthington, gets into his avatar body and he leads a revolt and he attacks the Marines and he kills them all and the good guys win.
Yes.
Right?
Sure.
Okay, but here's my problem with this. As soon as the monsters, the cat monkeys, started attacking the humans, I got really frightened.
Yeah.
Because here's the thing, James Cameron. I'm pro-human.
Uh-huh.
Like, just because the humans are being portrayed as bad guys in this doesn't mean I want to see them all slaughtered by monsters.
Yeah, exactly.
These monsters were just murdering all these humans. I mean, like, I know that they were, like, opening fire first, but I mean, that's a big leap to ask me to sell out my own species.
Yeah, you're watching, yeah, our fellow man get thrown out of planes and we're supposed to root for that? No.
Like, I'm sorry we're being bad to the monsters, but they're monsters. We're still people. We're bad. Yeah, sure, we're evil, but I don't want to see us all get murdered.
No, exactly. Not by monsters.
Imagine if you're, take another perspective in that movie. Like, if you're an army, you're a Marine, mm-hmm. like a grunt.
Yeah.
Like, in that movie. And so you're like working this base and, you know, there's a scary like monsters out there. Like, you know, this horrible, like six-legged panther, you know, like a hammerhead, rhino.
Yeah. You're basically getting attacked by a dinosaur.
Yeah. And you're in base. And then all of a sudden you hear like next day, like, attention troops, we're going to attack tomorrow. And you're like, oh, okay. And then you like go out there to attack and, you know, there's like, okay, monsters. And you're like shooting them. Right.
Yeah.
But then the monsters like murder you.
Yeah.
That's horrible. But yeah. Like, it's like, oh, but if I look at it just from this one guy's perspective who couldn't walk and now he can, oh, killing all the humans is great.
So, internet, if you're listening, where is the like Saving Private Ryan mashup version of this movie seen from the point of view of like a grunt who has to go out there to this, and just get slaughtered by monsters?
Yeah. What are you trying to do, James Cameron? Trying to turn me anti-human? Nice try, JC! Not gonna happen. I'm not drinking the Kool-Aid, buddy. Seriously.
Yeah, no, I'm on board with you, yeah.
As soon as that giant war between good and evil started, I was instantly like, oh, look at the efficient way the monsters are killing the humans. This is terrifying.
I thought this was going to be a rout, but they're holding their own and winning.
Yeah, once the humans started winning, I was like, okay, that sucks that the humans are destroying their world, but oh my God, thank God.
Yeah. Yeah, the humans win. It's like, that's the way it's supposed to go. This is, you know, sucks to be the blue guys.
So you're on a plane and you're just door gunning these monsters, right?
Uh-huh.
And all of a sudden, one jumps into the airplane.
Yeah.
And then just starts murdering you left and right, knocking one guy's head off.
Yeah, on his giant hawk dragon. That's like, that's against the Geneva Convention. Like, you are not allowed to bring that in.
So terrifying. Yeah, James Cameron is like, yeah, root for these humans to die. Go for the godless. Oh, they weren't godless. They did have a god.
No, they had, yeah, their tree god.
Yeah, which was real.
Yeah. Oh, I know it was.
Didn't see that coming.
Because it had so much history in it.
Like, that was weird. That's kind of unfair.
Yeah.
Like, the character's like, oh, the monster's god is real. It's like, what about the human's god? Doesn't matter.
Well, they're playing an away game. They don't get the home court advantage of their god.
Yeah.
Yeah, but like, Sam Worthington kind of cheated the night before, like, by plugging into the world and be like, need your help on this one. All right.
Yeah, and the world was like, all right, fine. And so then at the end of the movie, after all the humans are dead, except a couple ones that wanted to stay and like do what? I don't know. Yeah. Live there forever in an environment that will kill them.
Right.
Like, because they can't take their masks off or they die because the air is toxic anyway. They conveniently have a magic tree that will put a human brain in an avatar body permanently.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And then that's what they did.
Yeah. Thank God that was there.
Yes.
Otherwise, he would have just been, oh, that should have been just, I'm stuck on this planet, but I'm a human now. Will you love me?
And
no.
There's a scene where, the sexy lady cat monkey,
the
love interest.
That's fun to say.
Like, finds Sam Worthington's like human body, and she looks at him with love. David, imagine this. Imagine if me, your radio co-host Mac Blake.
Yes, fellow Lion Mac Blake.
I was just, your fellow radio Lion. If I was just a avatar body, and somewhere is a smaller version of me with a weird skin color, and an oddly shaped face, like half my size, somewhere that's really controlling me, and my legs were kind of messed up.
No way I'm loving you.
Yeah, exactly.
No way in hell. I might squash you. And even knowing that, like, Mac Blake, as I'm standing and staring at you right now, you might fall over and die. If I squash you, I'm squashing you.
That is terrifying. I would be, like, again, terrified. But still, just an amazing movie.
Oh, yeah.
Just visually a feast. Story-wise, just weak as hell. Yeah. One of these things took 3 years to do, and it wasn't right, the movie.
Now what? James now Cameron, what? You moneymaker.
Yep. Seriously, this thing is going to bank, though.
Yeah, he's printing his own money.
Bank out of control.
Good for him. Because I'll tell you what, I had no interest in seeing this movie. Like, none whatsoever. Saw the previews, heard about it, years in the making. For the most part, I love everything James Cameron does. No interest until I started to hear word of mouth. And word of mouth got me. And word of mouth delivered. One of the few times, I think, that word of mouth has ever been, like, accurate. If not, you know, it wasn't wholly positive, but I knew exactly what I was getting into.
I didn't.
Well, you
dazzling thrill ride of visualosity. Folks, let's take a break. And when we come back, more Mascot Wedding Show. This is Sound Team. You don't need to look for trouble. Trouble will find its way to you. Truer words never spoken. That was Sound Team with Back in Town off of their album Movie Monster. And it looks like we got somebody on the phone. KOOP, you're on the air.
Hey, Mackie.
Mackie, is this Calvin?
That's right, little bro.
I haven't heard from you since Christmas. What's going on?
Nothing.
Okay, is there something you wanted to discuss on the radio? Because I am doing a show right now.
No.
Okay, well then I'm going to let you go.
No, don't do that. I got something for the topic.
Okay, I should tell the other listeners that this is my brother Calvin Blake calling in.
Say town.
What did you say?
I'm repping my hood, San Antonio.
Yes, you live in San Antonio. That's correct.
Hey, Tom.
Okay, all right. So what do you have for the topic?
Oh, you want to go see Avatar later?
Are you serious?
Yeah, it looks pretty righteous.
I've already seen it. I saw it last night. That's what I've been talking about for the entire show. You clearly have not been listening.
Oh, I have not.
So what's going on, Calvin? Why are you calling?
I wanted to talk to you.
Okay.
I haven't had a chance to since Christmas.
Well, you were kind of weird on Christmas. You know, we exchanged presents and then you abruptly left.
Oh, hey, have you used your present yet?
You mean the gift certificate you gave me? No.
Yeah, the one for the sensual massage.
No.
Complete with pat-down.
Yeah, no, I gave it to David.
What? Oh, I can't believe you. What a stone-cold jerk.
Well, it's kind of a weird gift, Calvin.
I don't. Do you know how much that thing cost me?
No, how much?
Well, nothing. I did a favor for the girl who was going to give it to you.
Well, then I guess you're not out that much.
I helped frame her ex-boyfriend.
Okay, well, maybe you shouldn't talk about framing on the air.
The regicide.
I really don't think you should be talking about that. Wait, did you say regicide?
Yeah.
That means like killing a king or a member of royalty.
Yeah, don't worry. We faked it. I dressed up as the king of Brazil and faked my death.
That's, Okay, it's still probably not a good idea legally to talk about that over the air, about framing someone.
Yeah, you're probably true.
thanks, I guess?
Still a better gift than your gift.
Well, I'm sorry. I thought you'd like it.
I can't believe you.
Really? I mean, what I got you was the last season of 24 on DVD. I mean, you love the show 24. You own all the other seasons on DVD. I thought it was actually a pretty perfect gift.
It's like you're not even my brother.
Am I missing something here? I mean, how is that a bad gift?
Hello? After the night I had?
What?
Christmas Eve night. The horror I went through. I took one look at your gift and the visions came back.
I absolutely have no idea what you're talking about.
My Christmas Eve vision? Didn't I tell you?
No, you did not.
Oh, well. Well, on Christmas Eve, I had this, I wouldn't call it a dream, but it was something. I was visited.
By, like, a friend?
Yes, an old friend. Chase Edmonds.
Okay, who is, I don't know, Chase Edmonds?
He's the CTU agent who got his hand cut off by Jack Bauer in season 3 of 24.
Okay, so this is a TV character. This was a dream you had.
I wish it was a dream. Oh, how I wish. But it was real, Mackie.
I don't...
So let me tell you. Chase Edmonds. Right. Chase Edmonds. Sorry, I was thinking of somebody else. Chase Edmonds appears in my bedroom and says I'll be visited by 3 ghosts on that very night. Spirits from the past, present, and future.
Like in A Christmas Carol.
Like what? No, this wasn't a song.
No, it's not. It's the Dickens story with Ebenezer Scrooge.
Like the guy from DuckTales?
Forget it. Just go on with your story.
Well, I'm trying to before you started to talk about DuckTales. Come on, do it.
Do what?
DuckTales.
Oh. Ooh. Is that what you wanted?
You got a better one in you than that. Do it again. DuckTales.
Ooh.
Yeah, so Chase Edmonds is waving his stumpy arm at me and howling. He says I'll be visited by 3 ghosts, and then he disappears. So I'm left all alone in my apartment, and I start freaking out. I try to calm down. I take some deep breaths. I think about the Spurs. Go Spurs. I start feeling my heart slowing down, but I can't stop shaking because the room's suddenly freezing. I turn around, and there standing in my room is none other than President David Palmer.
David Palmer, also a character from the show 24.
That's right, our nation's first black president.
That's not right. I mean,
first and best, Mackie. Show some respect.
All right.
Right. So okay. Next thing you know, it's like we're flying. But we're like flying through my past. I'm seeing all these scenes from my life. I can't even describe it. It was so weird.
So this is you and David Palmer doing it. Okay.
President David Palmer.
President David Palmer.
Yeah, so he showed me all this stuff from the past, like he took me to when you and me were kids, and I was making you Sloppy Joes. You know how you love Sloppy Joes.
I don't like Sloppy Joes.
And then we were young and playing your favorite game, Karate Man.
It wasn't my favorite game. That wasn't even a game. That was just you kicking me.
Yeah, and then we traveled to the past where I was working at that water park. You remember, the H2OK Corral? Oh, and I got to see all those sweet mamacitas I got sticky with while I was working there.
All right, I don't want to hear about that on the radio.
We took me back to the time I did it with Tracy Smuggins on the Rio Loco. You remember the Rio Loco?
Yeah, it's like that bucket ride.
Yeah, that's right.
You ride and learn in the water.
Yeah. So yeah. Me and President David Palmer, we just sat there and watched the whole thing. It was kind of awesome.
So watching your past self getting adult alongside David Palmer, that's awesome.
I was
you.
In fine form that night.
All right, that's gross.
As was Tracy. That Rio got muy loco, my friend.
Okay, just move along with the story.
Okay, so then we traveled back to the present.
Wait, so what did you learn? Like, was there a message in this trip back in time?
No. What was there supposed to be?
Well, then why are the ghosts visiting?
Are you just interrupting me?
No, sorry, go on.
Okay, then. So President David Palmer drops me off, and I'm back in my apartment alone again, but then a bright light appears, and it's Chloe.
Chloe is also a character from 24?
Yeah, you know, she's the one who was like the tech support, but she's also like the president of B-Town.
President of B-Town?
Bitch.
Oh, okay, all right.
I didn't think I was allowed to say that on the air.
Don't say it again.
The word bitch. I wasn't allowed to say
No, don't say it again.
Okay, well,
we try to aim for a higher standard than that on the radio, on the co-op.
Okay, I'm sorry. It's your show. I'm sorry.
Yes.
But you know who I'm talking about, Chloe,
yeah,
right?
Chloe, the character from 24.
Yeah, the mayor of B-Town.
Yeah.
So we started talking, and you know what?
What?
On the show, she isn't someone I'd want to make time with, but in person, way hotter.
Okay.
Way hotter,
I got it.
Like way, way hotter.
All right, I get it.
So we did it.
What?
Yeah, I had a bed parade with Chloe.
Okay, but wasn't she a ghost?
She had all the parts, my man.
Okay, that is enough.
Yeah, yeah, that's right. Yeah, those were like the noises we were making. And then afterwards, she's like, I guess I better show you a vision. But I'm like, slow that down, because Chloe, she's cool and all, but I'm not looking for anything serious. I told her I had to work early tomorrow, but she didn't buy it.
Well, tomorrow, that would have been like Christmas Day.
Yeah, I guess so. Yeah, she got real mad and left. She called me a bunch of names.
Wow.
Yeah, I'm kind of worried she's going to get some vengeance on me, like maybe come back and haunt me.
Because she's like an angry ghost now?
No, because I didn't use a condom.
Calvin.
Yeah, I'm kind of worried she's going to haunt me 9 months from now.
You are not a good person.
Shut up. I'm about to get to the best part. She leaves and another ghost comes.
Is this one from like the future of the show?
I don't know, man, but it was Jack Bauer himself.
Jack Bauer. So Kiefer Sutherland's character from 24 came and visited you.
Yeah, I couldn't believe it. This man is my hero.
Did you ask him about like any questions about the upcoming seasons or anything?
No. This is Jack effing Bauer. You don't ask the man nerd questions like that.
Okay.
So I poured the man a drink.
So you guys were drinking together.
Yeah, we had a drinking competition, shot for shot, WTF style.
WTF style, is that like a type?
WTF, whiskey, tequila, and Fanta orange. The Fanta's like a chaser, so we had a competition. We saw how many rounds of those we can do, and I won.
Wow.
Yeah, I beat him 10 rounds to 4.
Wait a second, so he stopped after 4 rounds?
Yeah, he said he was getting sleepy.
If he stopped after 4 rounds, why did you keep going all the way to 10?
I had to create some space. He's Jack Bauer, dude. He could have come back at any time. Don't you watch the show?
Not regularly, no. Not really.
Yeah, probably couldn't handle it.
So that's how the night ended?
Yeah.
Well, it sounds like you had a lot of fun.
Yeah, it was awesome.
Yeah, so I don't understand. Why did that upset you when I gave you the new season of 24?
Because I think Jack Bauer's going to die next season. I'm so worried.
What? But you just hung out with him.
Yeah. But I shouldn't be able to beat him in a drink-off. The man's Jack Bauer. He's the toughest guy ever. If he loses to me, that means he's off his game, and that can't happen.
That can't happen.
Mackie, in Jack Bauer's world, you let your guard down for a second, you're dead. Hell, I even stole his wallet.
Why did you steal his wallet? I thought you liked this guy.
I love the guy. But I was kind of hoping he'd have some pictures of his daughter Kim in there. Like, maybe he took her to a fancy ball, and her gown slips, nip slip.
That's disgusting. Why would he have a picture of that in his wallet?
I don't know. Maybe he was sort of overlooking that one slight detail.
Oh. Well, did he?
No. Just money and cards.
Sorry about that. Jeez.
That's okay. So, yeah, I'm going to need a gift receipt for that season.
I'll see what I can do. I got to try and find it.
Okay, yeah. See to it that you do. Look, I got to go. I got my buddy DB Nick on hold on the other line.
Wait, you've had someone on hold this entire time?
Yeah, it's just Nick. He doesn't care.
Okay.
Later days, Mackie Doo.
All right. Bye, Calvin.
Down.
Yeah, okay. Say it down. Oh, thanks, Calvin. Always good to hear from my brother. Small faces.
If a smile on my face doesn't.
Back, Mascot Winning Show. My name is Mac Blake.
My name is David. We just heard the Small Faces from the Darlings of the Wapping Wharf Launderette.
Wait, what?
Yeah, that was the name of it.
Slow that down. What is it again?
Darlings of the Wapping Wharf Launderette. The most simple name to say in the world.
Touche.
That was I'm Only Dreaming. Before we cut out and make room for Lisa and Linda on the clear spot.
The clear spot.
Hot rock for your January. I did want to point out one thing that I saw today. I was on Yahoo. I apologize in advance. And they had like this link to, it was like, check out your horoscopes for 2010. And look, Mac, do you read your horoscope?
Never.
Do you know why? I'll tell you why, because it's stupid. Don't ever do that.
So wait, this is your horoscope for like the entire year?
Yeah, just sort of.
I would be interested.
It was, yeah, exactly. It was like your horoscopes for your life and your love.
That's a lot of bang for your buck. What did it say?
Yeah, well, you know, it caught me in the right mood. So I was like, I'll check it out. Here's the first sentence of the love part of my horoscope, and here's why I never want to read another horoscope again. Capricorn, your love life can be in one of three positions in the next year: single, in a relationship, or in a committed relationship. And that's when I stopped reading, because really, that's what you're going to do? You're just going to hedge all your bets from the get-go? Kind of, it really irked me, because I was in the mood for a horoscope. I was in the mood for a good old fortune-telling.
Wow.
Yeah. So you can't tell me where I am in life, you soothsayer, you jerk.
If you're reading this, you'll most likely live throughout the entire year, but there's a chance you'll die.
But if you're dead, you won't care what we say to you right now.
Yahoo.
Yeah.
Paying the big bucks, getting that extra good horoscope.
Can I tell you something else real quick about 2010 that I love already?
Yes.
I've had to write the date on two things so far. And when you start to mess up, it's 200. Oh, you know what? I messed up. No, I didn't. Because you just slide a stick in between those two zeros.
Whoa.
Yeah, you're saving checks left and right.
Mascot wedding, fun check writing tip. That should be a new segment on the show.
That was more fun than I thought it was going to be when I did that today.
In the notes section, put what the check was for. That was a preview of next week's show.
If you're sending it to a friend, put a gag in there.
That has been the Mascot Wedding Show.
Yeah, getting out on time. Awesome, look at us. For more information about Mascot Wedding, including show archives, and information about various night jobs and side gigs, you may visit mascotwedding.com. Email us at mascotwedding@gmail.com for any questions, comments, or secret recipes for good stuff that you like to eat and stuff. We're on MySpace. We're on Facebook. You just go on those little websites and you tap in Mascot Wedding, and then stuff comes up. Hopefully not porn.
And we're kind of not really on MySpace, though.
We're really. Is anybody really? Yeah. No, of course not.
We're going to stop saying that.
Yeah. Okay.
Sorry, MySpace.
Yeah, we're on Facebook. Let's all switch over.
Yeah. I think people have.
Anything else?
Goodbye, David.
Goodbye, Mac, and we're going to go out with some Descendants. Goodbye, Austin.